They were all sitting together by the cave entrance. Anselmo handed him his cup and went into the cave for another. Coming out, he leaned over the bowl and dipped the cup full, and they all touched cup edges. The wine was good, tasting faintly resinous from the wineskin, but excellent, light and clean on his tongue. Robert Jordan drank it slowly, feeling it spread warmly through his tiredness.
"The food comes shortly," Pablo said. "And this foreigner with the rare name, how did he die?"
"He was captured, and he killed himself."
"How did that happen?"
"He was wounded, and he did not wish to be a prisoner."
"What were the details?"
"I don't know," he lied. He knew the details very well, and he knew they would not make good talking now.
"He made us promise to shoot him in case he were wounded at the business of the train and should be unable to get away," Pablo said. "He spoke in a very rare manner."
He must have been jumpy even then, Robert Jordan thought. Poor old Koshkin.
"He had a prejudice against killing himself," Pablo said. "He told me that. Also, he had a great fear of being tortured."
"Did he tell you that too?" Robert Jordan asked him.
"Yes," the gypsy said. "He spoke like that to all of us."
"Were you at the train too?"
"Yes, all of us were at the train."
"He spoke in a very rare manner," Pablo said. "But he was very brave."
Poor old Koshkin, Robert Jordan thought. He must have been doing more harm than good around here. I wish I would have known he was that jumpy as far back as then. They should have pulled him out. You can't have people around doing this sort of work and talking like that. That is no way to talk. Even if they accomplish their mission, they are doing more harm than good, talking that sort of stuff. "He was a little strange," Robert Jordan said. "I think he was a little crazy."
"But very dexterous at producing explosions," the gypsy said. "And very brave."
"But crazy," Robert Jordan said. "In this you have to have very much head and be very cold in the head." That was no way to talk.
"And you," Pablo said, "if you are wounded in such a thing as this bridge, you would be willing to be left behind?"
"Listen," Robert Jordan said, and leaning forward he dipped himself another cup of the wine. "Listen to me clearly. If ever I should have any little favors to ask of any man, I will ask him at the time."
"Good," said the gypsy approvingly. "In this way speak the good ones. Ah, here it comes."
"You have eaten," said Pablo.
"And I can eat twice more," the gypsy told him. "Look now who brings it."
The girl stooped as she came out of the cave mouth, carrying the big iron cooking platter, and Robert Jordan saw her face turned at an angle, and at the same time saw the strange thing about her. She smiled and said, "Hola, comrade." And Robert Jordan said, "Salud," and was careful not to stare and not to look away. She set down the flat iron platter in front of him, and he noticed her handsome brown hands. Now she looked him full in the face and smiled. Her teeth were white in her brown face, and her skin and her eyes were the same golden, tawny brown. She had high cheekbones, merry eyes, and a straight mouth with full lips. Her hair was the golden brown of a grain field that had been burned dark in the sun, but it was cut short all over her head so that it was but little longer than the fur on a beaver pelt. She smiled in Robert Jordan's face and put her brown hand up and ran it over her head, flattening the hair which rose again as her hand passed. She has a beautiful face, Robert Jordan thought. She'd be beautiful if they hadn't cropped her hair.
"That is the way I comb it," she said to Robert Jordan and laughed. "Go ahead and eat. Don't stare at me. They gave me this haircut in Valladolid. It's almost grown out now."
She sat down opposite him and looked at him. He looked back at her and she smiled and folded her hands together over her knees. Her legs slanted long and clean from the open cuffs of the trousers as she sat with her hands across her knees, and he could see the shape of her small, up-tilted breasts under the gray shirt. Every time Robert Jordan looked at her, he could feel a thickness in his throat.
"There are no plates," Anselmo said. "Use your own knife."
The girl had leaned four forks, tines down, against the sides of the iron dish. They were all eating out of the platter, not speaking, as is the Spanish custom. It was rabbit cooked with onions and green peppers, and there were chickpeas in the red wine sauce. It was well cooked. The rabbit meat flaked off the bones, and the sauce was delicious. Robert Jordan drank another cup of wine while he ate. The girl watched him all through the meal.
Everyone else was watching his food and eating. Robert Jordan wiped up the last of the sauce in front of him with a piece of bread, piled the rabbit bones to one side, wiped the spot where they had been for sauce, then wiped his fork clean with the bread, wiped his knife, and put it away, and ate the bread. He leaned over and dipped his cup full of wine, and the girl still watched him.